Well, it's nice to see the Green family present and accounted for. Amen. I guess I need a remote, Ken. Where is that? I'll take it. We kind of got out of the routine of church, taking 2 weeks off for camp meeting. And if any of you ask me how my vacation went at camp meeting, I will be tempted to strangle you on the spot. In Christian love, of course. Oh, my goodness. I was so glad to be home. I mean, porta potties for 2 weeks gets a little old. Sleeping on a mattress that, is it that thick? Valerie's going like this, and it feels like about that thick. And you actually get in a place where you can actually go to sleep. Walking about a quarter mile to showers early in the morning. And if someone flushes the toilet south or north or east or west of the showers, it turns like a different temperature like that. And it's, oh, I guess I needed to be woken up. And there were some real blessings at camp meeting. I don't want to, but some of you were like in RVs and just like five-star hotels. And Ron was roughing it, but I had a lot of blessing. But I was really glad to get home. So, but we got out of the routine of church, and so it's good to be back. Obviously, not everyone's back from vacations and whatever they're doing, but it is good to be back. Oh, now we're getting to them. These are friends and family books. Our deacons were dozing, but they've got them out, so it's all good. I would love to hear from each and every one of you. I love reading these things. It's an opportunity for you to put down a prayer request, to just write me a message, just whatever. I just really enjoy reading those, so please participate if you would humor me on that. Well, we are in a series, Summer of Love. And this series is based on the fact that we are experiencing the 50-year anniversary of the Summer of Love, which took place in the San Francisco Bay Area, which over 100,000, mostly young people, converged on San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury, and had this crazy idea that they were going to change the world through love and peace. And this series that I'm doing called Summer of Love, which is obviously stolen from the Summer of Love of 1967 in San Francisco, is not a series about being a hippie, although we do have some people who are donning tie-dye. I don't know if you've... come on, stand up, Newmans. Look at that beautiful tie-dye that they're wearing. And Cherie Hammock is wearing her tie-dye shirt again. I will have to wear... or dress, and I will have to wear mine again. And don't be afraid to wear tie-dye during this series, because it's okay. It's okay. But the series is on the Ten Commandments, because Jesus, when he talked about the Ten Commandments, he said, you can sum the Ten Commandments up in a single word, L-O-V-E, love toward God and love to our fellow man. That sums up the Ten Commandments. At the core of the Ten Commandments, they're not a series of thou shalt not, but they're rather, if you really love God and if you really love other people, you will act in a certain way. And so we've been having fun with this. Ronald Mattson, come to order. With commandment number 5, we see a change of direction. The first 4 have been about our love toward God in a vertical sort of orientation. And with commandments 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, it becomes horizontal in its focus as we talk about what it means to love our fellow man. First 6, love to God. First 4, love to God. Last 6, love to our fellow man. Now, here is the 5th commandment from the good old King James, which some of us who have been on this earth for a while have probably memorized this. Honor, and that's how it was spelled in 1611. Spell check said, what is that? What is that word? I've never seen it before. That's Old English spelling. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. How many of you memorized that at some point in time? Okay, most of us have. The fifth commandment. This is how it reads from the New International Version. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Point number one, this is not a commandment about longevity. The point is that you're going to live to be a 90, 100, or whatever. This is not a commandment about longevity. It's about honoring. And the key word there is honor, the very first word in this fifth commandment. Now, the word honor is an interesting word because in the original Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek and the Old Testament written in Hebrew. In the Old Testament Hebrew, it literally means to make heavy or weighty. And so I've pictured there some weights there. To make heavy or weighty. Make heavy or weighty in regards to giving people respect and honor. The word picture of the opposite of this would be to take someone lightly by withholding honor or respect from them. Now, furthermore, this commandment is not a commandment about that is directed toward kids to get them to fall into line. How many of you at some point in your life had a parent say, honor thy father and mother when we were doing something wrong? Probably all of us. Maybe some of us parents have even pulled that card out to try to get our kids to behave themselves. Honor thy father and mother. That's what the Bible says. So you better do what's right, Johnny or Sally or whomever. Honor thy father and mother. More than one parent has used this. How many of you would admit to using this ploy? Are you kidding me? You never pointed at a child and when they were misbehaving said, honor? Okay, George, you and I guess we're the only ones. There is a parent-child relationship that is mentioned here in the fifth commandment. And it goes both ways. Children toward their parents and parents toward their children. I'd like to suggest that there is one word that sums up what this commandment is really talking about, and the word is family. 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 Now, I'm telling you, the family is taking a beating today. Satan is working overtime to destroy families. You know why? Families are like the basic building block unit of society. It's the basic building block unit of a church. And we have some wonderful families here. And so Satan is smart enough to know that if he can attack families and get the kind of family that God has set up to be harmed in some way or to disappear, that he has won. And a healthy, biblically traditional family is disappearing today. It's an endangered species. It really is. Statistical data indicates that a traditional family of a mom and a dad and children, it's not like what it was when God set it up in the beginning. The percentage of young people who are choosing to not get married and to have anything to do with marriage and family have doubled in the last 40 years. Same-sex marriages are considered today as normal in many places in our world, which of course brings a destruction to the traditional family unit. Divorce rates are at an all-time high, where single parents are doing their best, but there's more single parents than there's ever been. Absentee parents and over-permissive parents are found everywhere. It's part of the culture that we live in. And disrespect by children toward their parents. I know a number of educators, and they all tell me to a person that it is much worse in their classroom today than it was even 10 years ago as far as the disrespect quotient goes. Satan is working overtime to destroy the family. And the traditional healthy family unit, as was set out by God, is increasingly beginning to disappear. The Bible predicted it. 2 Timothy 3:1 and 2. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to their parents, unholy. Is that not an accurate picture of what we have today? One of the key places where people begin to forsake God, and God's way of doing things seems to not be, and in fact, the world looks at it completely opposite. God's way of doing things is put me first, put your family next, and put yourself last. Where in today's society is put yourself first, put others next, and either put God last or just completely eliminate him from the picture. One of the first places where societies begin to forsake God is in their families. And I think it's significant that the first commandment in the last six that have to do with human relations is on the family. It's like the Bible is saying the family is the basic of all human relationships. And if you can get the family right, then the other relationships are more likely to fall into place. We parents significantly influence our children's view of God the Father. God designed family units so mothers and fathers raise their children. The term, a Bible term, is in the Lord. That is the responsibility of parents. And parents, specifically dads, are dropping the ball big time on that. Fathers are the one who usually give their children the concept of what God is like. Now, there's no perfect father, and our God is perfect. So it's kind of scary that we dads would be a father figure that would be able to teach people about God. But there's a lot of people who grew up with a father that was not loving, that was not kind, that was not there. And their concept of God suffers greatly because our God concept has a lot to do with how our earthly fathers related to us. The real issue that the fifth commandment addresses is one of respecting authority. Respecting authority. Respect of God should be the foundation of our lives. And that's why the first four commandments have to do with getting the God thing right. Don't take my name in vain. Have no other gods before me. Give me your best worship on Sabbath day. Make this a day about me and not about yourself. Respecting authority. God's desire is that we learn how to respect God and honor him and glorify him as we should. And the paradigm is that we should learn that from our parents. But as I've stated before, that is not happening as God would have it. God's desire is that we learn how to respect authority based on our relationship with God. Now, with the rest of the time that I have, I want to answer three questions. Question number one is, what does it mean to honor our parents? What does it mean to honor our parents? Question number two, why is it important to honor one's parents? And question number three, what if we haven't had good family dynamics in our own family, then what? Okay, let's go. Question number one, what does it mean to honor our parents? Every time that you look in the mirror and you see that you have a belly button, theological question for you, did Adam have a belly button? I don't think so. Victor thinks so, but he wasn't born. That was a trick question. I don't know. Think about that. Every time you look in the mirror and you see your belly button, you should be reminded that you didn't just show up on the earth one day inadvertently. There was someone who participated in giving you life. And that someone had to change your diapers and to feed you and to keep you safe. And that person would be a parent or a parent figure if you didn't have a parent. Our parents' role in our lives is incredibly important. Incredibly important. And you would be surprised how much time the Bible spends on relationships, children, parents, etc. Our parents' role in our lives is a changing one, depending on how old we are. Now, when we're young children, we honor our parents, we respect them by obeying their instruction. And the primary job of a parent, and is it not like the hardest job in the world to be a parent? When my sons were born and they popped out, I waited for the instruction manual to come out after them, and it, you know what? It never did. And it never showed up by UPS. I never got an instruction manual. Did any of you get an instruction manual on how to be a parent? Well, that makes me feel better, because it's kind of been... It can be. Absolutely, Ron. I totally agree with you. When we are young, our parents give us instruction, and their job is to not be our buddy and to make us happy. Their job is to make us successful in life. And sometimes that means discipline. And sometimes that means correction and tough love. But that is our job as a parent. For you see, we have been given the role by God as equipping our children to be successful, not only economically, not only educationally, not only socially, but also spiritually. And like I said before, too many of us dads are completely flaking out on this. God has intended that we be the high priest of our family, and we're dropping the ball big time by not being there. And God bless you women who are having to be the high priest of your family because your man is just not stepping up to the plate. A child from age birth to 18, the way we honor our parents is to obey their instruction. As young adults, as we get older, we honor our parents by appreciating what they have told us and trying to live up to it. I don't know if this happened to you or your children, but it seems like when kids hit the teenage years, and it can last even in the 20s, you can think that your parents are really naive and don't know very much. And then you get older and your parents get smarter all of a sudden. Isn't that incredible how that works? And the temptation as a young adult is to dismiss your parents as being naive and not in touch with reality and not knowing as much as you do. As we launch later into adulthood, we honor our parents by carefully weighing their advice, listening attentively to their ideas, even if we decide to do something different, but honoring their counsel in our life. And then as mature adults, we honor our parents by caring for their needs. Now, my parents died before they ever had to go to a rest home or ever got really sick and bedbound. Valerie right now is on the phone to her parents all the time because they're getting at that age where things are going wrong. She called her dad yesterday in the hospital. He had an infection. And I know that she and her sister just are really put in a lot of time. And I think you're great daughters, by the way, the way that you take care of your parents. As mature adults, we honor our parents by caring for their needs, and our temptation is to get so busy that we just don't have time to do that, and we forget about our parents. Yes, every time we are tempted to not honor our parents, we should look at our belly buttons and say, we have a lot to owe them. Let's honor them. Question number two. Why is it important to honor one's parents? Why is it important to honor one's parents? That's a pretty good reason, but let me expand on that. The fifth commandment uses the parent-child relationship because it is the most basic building block of all human relationships. And it's like if we don't learn to get the fifth commandment right, and we don't have that as a foundation to our lives, all other relationships and authority to those relationships will suffer down the road. From the fifth commandment, if we respect and honor people like we are should, we should learn how to relate by our parents' instruction to our bosses, to our teachers, to those in law enforcement, and even to our government. We should learn how to be respectful to those who are in positions of leadership. There has been such an erosion today of respect for authority. It is just frightening. I told you about some of the educators that recognize that in our classrooms. It has been true, I will admit, that all too often, politicians, people in law enforcement, and even religious leaders have done things that have deeply disappointed us because the things have been so wrong, and we have lost confidence in them. However, the Bible says that we are to honor authority in our lives, even when that authority is flawed and imperfect. You see, imperfect authority is preferable to anarchy any day of the week. And without authority, respect, relationships in our society will fall apart. We as parents need to model what it means to respect authority. When Johnny is up to bat at a Little League game and the umpire makes a call, and Jerry, you can relate to this, and a parent in the stands begins to demean the umpire and even curse the umpire out. You've heard of Little League parents. Well, they actually keep growing up later and later. How can little Johnny ever have a respect for authority when he sees mom and dad acting in a way that they don't respect authority? So we as parents have a big responsibility to model to our children a respect of authority. Because the way that we respect one another has a lot to do with the way we respect God. It's all tied in there. Why is it important to honor one's parents? Because the family unit is the basic unit of building block of society. And if it's bad, then things, all kind of bad things will happen. Question number three. What if we haven't had good family dynamics? Now, I was downright lucky. I didn't choose who I was going to get born to, and neither did you. But I was born into a loving home with parents who loved me and showed care to me. What if you weren't born having those advantages? And I know that there are some here today, and I will not ask for a show of hands, but there are some here today that did not have good family dynamics in the home that you were raised in. You may have had parents that abandoned you. Can't imagine what lifelong scars would come from that. You may have had parents who abused you emotionally, physically, maybe spiritually, maybe sexually, ouch. And you carry some deep wounds because of that. Maybe as a parent, you are suffering from guilt today because as you look back on your parenting, you did some things that you are not proud of at all. And you wonder if there's any forgiveness because you have a load full of guilt. There can be a lot of pain when it comes to family relationships. If you've blown it, and let me just tell you, there's no perfect parents. If you've blown it, we all have. We all have at some point in time. But if you have blown it, there is hope. There is hope. For our past does not have to determine our destiny. It just doesn't. There are no perfect parents, no perfect children. We live in an imperfect world. We're sinnerlings, and we have a bent toward evil in our lives. What God would have us do is repent from our wrongs, to ask for repentance. Ask God for forgiveness and seek the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And through God's power and help, be the kind of family member that God has asked us to be. And honoring one another, respecting one another in the Lord. Please be reminded of the text of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Woo-hoo! What a good God. What a good God. Whatever negative family dynamics that you have experienced in your past, give them to God. Ask for forgiveness and make the days that follow those bad times the best that you can make them. And make your own family units that you have control over something that glorifies God and is in accordance to the fifth commandment. God's fifth commandment gives us a way in which to order our lives to have successful families that can have God's blessings fall on them. Now, I've been quoting from Exodus 20 in the commandments, but you may know that the commandments were rephrased in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And where they are rephrased in Deuteronomy, the fifth commandment has a little addition that is not found in Exodus 20. From the Good News Version, it reads like this: respect your father and mother, and as I, the Lord your God, commanded you. And catch the next phrase that I put in yellow: so that all may go well with you. So that all may go well with you, and so that you may live a long time in the land I am giving you. Now, this promise was made primarily to whom? First application, as it was given then: the Jews, absolutely. And God's promise was that Israel is going to be a prosperous nation if you but follow the principles of the fifth commandment and train up your children in the Lord and be responsible parents and have a feeling of respect and honoring between your family members. It was made to Israel. But God wants to give us the same blessing today that He promised to Israel. And the bottom line is this: that God has established relationships of authority in our lives, and we express our devotion to God by respecting and honoring one another. Personal testimony. The older that I get, and I hate to tell you this, but we're all aging by the second, getting older. You know what I'm saying? The older that I get, and I'm getting older and so are you, the older that I get, family has become more precious to me. Any of you feel like that? The older that I get, family has become ever more precious to me. On Sunday of this week, I was again reminded just how valuable, precious, wonderful family can be. The picture that you see is of a man by the name of Bob Dunbar, D-U-N-B-A-R. Valerie and I are sort of related to him by marriage. I mean, we backed into the relation, but my sister married his son. So by marriage, we're kind of related, yeah, in-laws, stuff. Bob, retired dentist, practiced in Reading. He moved to the Reading area in 1949, so he had been there a long time, and he passed away a couple of weeks ago. And so I was asked as a family member and the only pastor in the family to officiate at the service. And so Valerie and Ron made the trip to Reading. When we left, this will make some of you absolutely shudder, but when we left, the memorial started at 2 o'clock, and we left the church about 5 or 6? But I guess about 6 o'clock. The temperature was 111 degrees. And Tuesday was supposed to be the really hot day of the week. That was just like normal. I told you some of you would shudder. So I was asked to officiate at Bob's service, Bob Dunbar's service. He has a very close family. This is a picture that was taken in 2011, so some of those kids are like twice that tall. It was taken at a Thanksgiving, and I'm sure, Valerie, you and I were there because we usually go to Red Bluff where my sister lives for Thanksgiving. I recognize the scenery as in Red Bluff. And there are four Dunbar children, and they're as close can be. They all, even though they went various places for their education, they all moved back to the Reading area to be with family. And it's just the way it was going to be. And they are so close. One of the brothers, Kelly and Jennifer Dunbar, have four kids. And their kids, I have never seen kids who like to be together as much as these kids do. You know, I know you're probably close to your brother or sister, and I'm close to my, but I've never seen anything like this. These kids just would rather be with each other than anywhere else. And this family is so close, and there's so much love, and they were raised in the Lord, and they're respectful of authority, and they're solid citizens, and they love God, and it's just like, wow, this is the way family is supposed to work. God blesses families who put him first. And what a blessing it was to just be around family and to be reminded how wonderful family can be when you follow God's way of doing things. I would like to end our service today with a special prayer for our families. As I've said, and as you know, I don't have to tell you this, our families are under attack today. And you feel it in your family, and I feel it in mine. The world we live in just is beating families up terribly. What I want to do in this closing prayer is to lift up the families of our church, which all of you here would qualify as. Because I want God to protect you and your family. I want God to bless you. I want you to experience the kinds of things that God has intended for us in our families. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you so much for this instruction for your word. Family was your idea. Marriage was your idea. Having children was your idea. You're part of a family unit with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and you value the concept of a family so much. Lord, I ask that the families of our church, whether they be a family with a lot of kids, whether it just be a husband and wife, or it be a single person who is a family unit, I ask that your Holy Spirit come and keep us strong as your people. Lord, I pray for the parents who have young children and who are embarking in this wonderfully but scary adventure of trying to raise them in the Lord. Lord, I just ask that you give them patience and long-suffering. Just be there for them, Lord, to teach them how to best raise their children in the Lord. For those of us who have kids who are a little older who have even left the nest, I just ask that we continue to be prayer warriors for our kids, and that whatever we have done in raising them, I claim the promise of train a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. Lord, I ask that whatever instruction that we have in our flawed humanity been able to give them, that it stick with them, and that they grow up to be followers of yours and be found in heaven. Lord, I pray for those families that are struggling right now, either a husband and wife in a relationship or with children who are just doing some awful crazy things, and parents are at their wits' end knowing what to do in order to bring these kids to their senses. Lord, I ask you to intervene with your Spirit in ways that only he can. Amen. Lord, my prayer is that you keep families safe, that you surround each of us with people who can encourage us, that you keep our heart desirous of a relationship with you, because we cannot do this on our own. Lord, I pray for each individual and each family. May your protection, may your blessings, and may your grace fall on each and every one. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.